differential treatment. Huh? Oh, that's begging. Oh, we know we don't own nothing here, and we ain't responsible for the tax base here in this city. But we represent so many in the number of the citizens of this city. So give us so many of your jobs. That's appealing to the good side of the person. You are begging. That's not like saying, look, we are responsible for the economic life of this portion of this city. So recognize us or suffer.
Right.
Huh? Oh, buddy, I'm telling you. So enter, says, enter the gate. But let's go back first. And remember we said, enter this town and eat of the plenty therein. We want to get into the town, we want to enjoy the plentifulness of these big cities. God has recognized that. There's nothing wrong with that appetite. God said, hey, tell them, enter the town and eat of the plenty therein. As you wish, according to your own desire, according to your own motivation, according to your own aspiration. Some of you want to be doctors. Some of you want to be lawyers. Some of you want to be financiers. Some of you want to be cultivators, agriculturalists. Enter the town according to your own appetite. Just go follow your appetite. Follow your aspiration, huh? There's plenty there. Some of you want to be developers? Go on in it. Be a developer. Be a city developer, huh? Yes, follow your app. That's what it's saying. Yes, in the town is plenty. Right. But don't go in proud, boastful. Because if the people don't stop you, God will eventually. So he said, go in humbly. In both posture and in words. So sometimes we speak real humble words, don't we? But we're standing like this. Yes, brother. Yes, brother. Yes, brother. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, brother. Yes, my brother. Yes, Ahi. Oh, welcome, Min Fadlak. Welcome, Ahi. Hey, what all this for? Your words sound like this. Sound like this, but you talking from a posture like this. Yes, I hear. Yes, my brother. Someone had a fist baller. Yes, my brother. Yes, I hear. That ain't the way. God ain't gonna be with you. And the people ain't gonna be with you for too long. So don't just make your words acceptable. Make also your image acceptable. Acceptable, excuse me. Make also your image acceptable. Word and image acceptable. And we shall forgive you your faults. Now, this is telling us that those people that God is warning, are admonishing, that they were at one time guilty of these things. And God is telling them how to change their ways and get his favor. Well, we should accept it in the same way. We should accept it in the same way. That we, awareness of our fault. That we have been at fault as a people. I don't think we are innocent as a people. White man committed a great unforgivable crime against us. Can't be forgiven. No. It can be passed over as a cause for grievances. We can stop using it as a cause for grievances. But to say it can be forgiven? No. no way to forget it. The extent to which we were brutalized, degraded, made a laughing stock for the world, for America and the world. No, it ain't no forgiving that. Don't say, well, forgive means you just passed away, you've forgotten it, you know, I forgive you for that. No, don't forgive you for that. God has to forgive you for that. My heart ain't big enough to forgive you for that. No, I'm not, that's me. See, that's me talking now. You can say what you want to say about yourself. But me, I can't forgive. I said, no. I haven't been made to forgive you for that. You need divine favor. I can't give it. Now, I'm not the fool now to hate white people for what whites did a generation or so ago. No. I blame that those people who did that. Now, if these don't do that, I have no problem with them. I have no problem with them. If they don't do that, I have no problem with them. But those people that did that had parties before my suffering and before my misery that they were heaping on me, and they were having parties. Just singing and drinking and smoking and carrying on while I'm burning at a stake for nothing. I looked at his woman, or his woman say, I looked at her, and he dragging me out of the house and have a party and smoke and drink and have fun while watching me burn slowly from the bottom up. No, I can't forgive him for that. God has to forgive him for that. But I will commend his children for not following his way and for improving that image as a human being and being just by me. Yes, I will commend his children and embrace his children. But if he could pop up out of the grave, I'd kick him in his face. I'd have to put it on him. Say, hey, don't you know that was 400 years ago? You haven't forgotten. No, I haven't forgotten. What I mean by that, if any white man I see on this planet today that's got that same kind of heart and mind, I feel like killing him. No mercy, no forgiveness, no talking to him, no trying to teach him anything. No, I don't think you have any patience with that person like that. And I think it's a shame on this country that the Ku Klux Klan still exists. A shame on the whole country, not just whites. A shame on the whites and us too, that the KKK still operates, still exists. The Black Panthers, they weren't a terrorist group. They weren't out to do injustice to anybody. But look, they represented a violent threat. They wiped them out. Came into the Black Panthers' headquarters, killed off the leaders, and surrounded them and infiltrated them and just removed them from the earth as an organization. But their own people, they tolerate them existing. Now, you see, that's the thing that bothers me. That kind of thing, that organization was such an ugly, ugly, ugly terrorist force. Their tactic was terror. Huh? That tactic was terror. They are the true terrorists. They believe that terrorizing you would make you submit. Would beat you down and make you submit. Would put fear in you and make you submit to their cruelties or to their injustices. And they were allowed to operate and commit those horrible cruelties 100 years or more. Huh? Just lynching and burning and just terrorizing the black community. The African-American community here in this country. Huh? Yeah, this is a fact of history. Now, we can understand how South Africa is dealt with so softly, so delicately, when we see that the Klan has been here and is still here, and the media will write about them or speak about them as though they have a legitimate base for continuing their life in America. Any organization with that kind of history, the government, the lawmakers, to say this organization must be obliterated, must be totally exterminated to get the ugly remembrance, the ugly reminder out of our sight. That's justice. That's civilized people's behavior. Huh? But they talk about it just like it's something that, you know, that's natural, just a natural development. So there's still a lot of hypocrisy in this society. And a lot of ignorance in the African-American man. Because I'm not the only one who should be speaking like this. Many of you should be. Reverend Jackson should speak like that. No, I guess the evil is left around here to keep our senses awake. Let us know that you can't drop your guard completely, not yet. And as long as they are tolerated to exist by that name KKK, Ku Klux Klan, I will never drop my guard completely before the white man. Yes. So if we want to go in, we should take the lesson, benefit from the light of the Quran, and take the lesson from Quran, and then design our plan, design our strategy for getting ourselves out of the terrible situation we're in into a strong situation, a good situation in this country, in this nation. Yes, we should take this lesson. We can't do it by ourselves. If we try to come up with a plan or stash, all we're going to do is what we've done in the past. Preach to the heart of the white man. Huh? And try to move up into a position so we can influence that. How can you influence something you ain't got nothing? We got a mayor in Gary. He's a black mayor. But what is his power? What is his influence? What is his power? That's right. Because when he came in with all those blacks there, there's a great percentage of us in Gary. The white man say, well, hey, ain't nothing here no more. He pulled out. Pulled out his industry, pulled out his big businesses. And left Mayor Hatchett and the citizens of Gary with nothing. And look at Detroit. Wonderful man. I'm not playing down any of these men. They are men with great strength and great qualifications. The mayor of Detroit. You go there now, his town just looked like a big Gary. It looked like a big Gary. Nothing there. So the white man is laughing at us. Say, hey, you think you can force your way and make me give you something? Say, look, I'll show you. I can give you freedom to take a whole city and then pull my stakes out and put them elsewhere and let you just sit there representing nothing. But something crying for help. And we should see the pattern by now. There's a pattern. For the white man to go to an area or go to a place or devote himself to an interest and just use it up. And when it's no more profitable for him, he turns it over to the blacks. And make you feel like you have moved into greater achievement. Oh, we have mayors. Look at all these mayors we have over these big cities. Oh, man, we really do. We got blacks, the mayor of Chicago. But where is Chicago? Chicago ain't there no more. He's the mayor of a place, of an area, that once was a Chicago. Well, where's the Chicago? It ain't there no more. Now, in the case of Chicago, except for the black community, Chicago still has strong potential and strong, viable, is still a viable city. That's why the mayor there is catching so much hell. No, get him out of there. Hey, nigga, don't you know you were temporary? Don't you know you came in here so we wouldn't have a hot summer? Hey, nigga, we got you in here so we wouldn't have another hot summer. Are you thinking your position is real? Hey, nigga, he's going to get you out of here. He's going to get you out of here. Hey, get that nigga $5,000. Get that other nigga here $2,000. Get that nigga here $100. Say, hey, now go in there and bust all of them. Send the inspectors in there. Send the security there. Go in there and the FBI and everybody. Go in there and bust all them niggas. Say, hey, bust the whole nigga administration. Bust the whole nigga administration. How much they got? They're all total about $8,000. They're going to bust all these niggas and discredit this man. He won't be here next time. Say, how much did Jane Byrne get? Oh, she got about $800,000. Say, let her run again.
Right.
Run her again. Then leave her alone. Don't tell no more than you have to. Or we might run her again. We had a little town called Robbins, Illinois. Black town. Police department black. Mayor black. Didn't just start. Been like that for 30 years or more. What have they done with that town? Nothing. You know why? Because they don't have any more vision and guidance than what the white man has given them. White man will give you nothing but a chance to compete. That's all he gives you. And if he can, he's going to make competition very difficult for you. Don't you all remember when we used to hear the complaint that yes, they give us education, but they encourage us, open the way for us to go into music, singing, theatrics. And they make it very difficult for us to go into those fields that are of great consequence.
Yes, sir.
Huh? Right. Don't you remember that time? Yes, that's what I was hearing when I was a teenager. Right. Well, see, they can also influence the circumstances so that your coming into the competition is very, 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 very difficult. So they weaken your possibility. They weaken the possibility for you, even in the competition. This is true and real. And not only in America, did the same thing in Africa. The colonial power that dominated the African state, they pretend to be preparing the Africans for freedom. When the colonial contract was over, they pretended to be preparing them to come into responsibility for their nation, and they were only giving them very weak knowledge, theory, and no application. Theory and no practical experience. So when they pulled out, they left those men without vision, without insight, without the knowledge to apply, the ability and knowledge to apply even the education that they had received. Left them with abstracts, theories, without even knowing the place of those theories in the real field. This is fact. So why don't we give up depending on the white man, on his graces, on his goodness of his heart for our future? Stop that. The Asian come over here, he doesn't depend on the white man's goodness of his heart. The Haitian, he's black as we are. But the Haitian didn't come over here depending on the goodness of the white man's heart. They didn't say, well, let us go get a Haitian movement and let us ask Washington to do this and do that. We're the only ones that have to get everything worked out for us through some legislation, some political favor. We're the only people. They don't come here looking for no favor from the political establishment. They come here looking for an opportunity to get some of the base, to get some of the material base. And they know if they get some of the material base, they can talk back to the establishment. If the establishment deny them their rights, abuse them, then they got some money now. They will take the money that they accumulated in America because of economic freedom. They will take that money and they'll pay a good lawyer and say, hey, this man is denying us our rights here. We have a right to form this country, this company. We have a right to sell these, this product, etc. Yes. But no, it's different with us. We follow in the spirit of a messianic movement that goes to the Pharaoh and think everything must be made right in a negotiation with Pharaoh. So, Pharaoh, you know, some of our children still don't have shoes. We got to have shoes. But, you know, Pharaoh, some of our children, we still don't have steak. We have to eat chicken. We can't buy steak. Now, most of the citizens of Egypt, they buy steak. How come we can't buy steak, Pharaoh? We got to carry every problem to Pharaoh. See, you look at one part of the messianic movement, and you fail to see the other part. The first part of Moses' movement, who was a typical of the Messiah, or the messianic movement, Jesus came as in the same image, the same type, to fulfill the prophecy of Moses, right? Yes. Okay, so he's a messianic, he's the liberator, he's the messianic figure. And he went to Pharaoh first. But he didn't ask Pharaoh to favor him, to take care of him, to give his people welfare. He said, we hate slavish jobs under you, Pharaoh. Let us go. Let us go on our own. He didn't ask for the right to win favor from Pharaoh in Egypt. He asked for the right to do for self. Right? Yes, sir. And he didn't want in, he wanted out. He said, let us go, Pharaoh. And he said, this ain't my demand, Pharaoh. God of our fathers, say, let his